Thank you for tuning in to Prevailing Word Broadcast. This message is presented by Reverend Ibu Hassan, the head pastor of Prevailing Word Chapel. Enjoy this insightful kingdom living message.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Na mi se mu enuanu mu adum mu se mu beyi mu nipadua na si ho se aforibode sronko a eye kronkron edima ewurade sum ne nti.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Ma fa mu hu se wiasem ne mo ma mu nya adwene mu nsakaye ama wagye mu atum wo nipam mu ewo onyame pem.
For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Amejina do mu e tu mu fokase. Ma mo bi anwene no ho ntra sedia wote ho. Ne mo yandwene wo ahobrasie mu sedia wo Nyankopon ani yen edi e wo gidi aye wo woni mu no.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Where are
I'm going to share with you a message on our theme for the month, and the title is Open to Transformation.
Na me ba be kasafa busumi ade ayedie si yetri mu se ye be kasa afa adwin sakra anansisan ye benya wo si biewumu ne nya sansisan ye no.
Be open to transformation.
Biewumu na sansisan ye no emra wo so.
Now this is very important because nobody can transform you unless you allow yourself.
Nye woman is say obi biara entumi nsisan ti se wankasa wo ma wo kwan se wo be sisan.
Nobody can change you unless you change yourself.
Obiara entumi nsisan ko si se wankasa wo be sisan wo.
So when you see anybody who has gone through transformation, is because the person wanted a change in his life.
Eno ti wo hu se obi nsisan ba na bra bom a na onia na nkasa agye atum se o pese o hu nsisan wa na bra bom eni ti na ye hu.
The Bible tells us that we can be conformed to this world. That means that our life may look just like the people of the world. But we need to be different and separate from the people of the world. And that change is going to come through the renewing of our minds. So we need to will and decide that I'm going to change some things in my life. I know you are believing for changes in your life. This verse is teaching us, however, that we can play a role in getting the transformation we desire. And it comes when you allow your mind to be renewed and changed so that you can think in a certain way.
So
the first point I want to share with you is that be open to first fruits. This is something that Moses taught his congregational members, church members. It was something God taught him, and he allowed his people to practice it.
Now,
I'm introducing to us some of the sermons, if you like, that Moses preached. God taught the people of Israel the principle of the first fruits.
Now, when you go to Israel for
so the first male belonged to God. God said, it is mine. But it didn't have to do with only offspring. It has to do with, it was a general principle that cut across. As a church, we have endeavored to teach people and encourage people to do what the Bible says.
Now say yeah, sorry, me say yeah, be church when you're microphone, when you're me say yeah.
As long as they will and want to. Because when something is good, you shouldn't use it to bind the people. They should find the thing good for themselves.
So
let's talk a little bit more about the first fruit. Exodus chapter 34, verses 26 to 27.
Exodus 34:9.
Exodus 34:26-27. The Bible says that the first of the first fruit of your land you shall bring to the house of your God. When you take all the first fruit, you must bring the first of the first fruit. Bring it to the house of your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. In the mother's milk. Don't boil it in the mother's milk. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So at the end of the month, we are going to endeavor to observe this verse. First fruit is an issue with God and not with the church, if you like. And it may be the principle that may open a certain door for your life. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. So in a first fruit offering, some people give all their salary. Because they are in a position to do that without causing waves. But some give the first week of the work. You know, your tithe would have been, let's say, 20 cedis because you are paid 200 Ghana cedis.
Okay.
But the person decides that the first week, that is 50 cedis, I'm going to add it to my tithe of 5 cedis. Out of the 50 cedis, you have 5 cedis. I'm going to add it to my tithe so that I give a first fruit offering of 25 cedis. You must do according as you have determined and willing. But everybody must endeavor to observe the first fruit principle. Let's read on. And with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. I remember many years ago in the Scripture Union. There was one brother who had finished the university and then had started working. At the end of the month, when he was paid, he gave all his salary to God.
He said
that was his first fruit.
Are you
following me? Now, why did this man do what he did?
Because
he believed in verses like
this.
Honor the Lord with your possessions.
And
with all the increase that comes your way, honor the Lord with it.
He says
that your barns will be filled with plenty.
That's
the result of first fruiting.
He said,
and your vats will overflow with new wine.
Where
there would have been something old, something usual, God will cause something new to spring forth.
I receive it.
Out of the first fruit, some new things can begin to happen for the rest of your life in the course of the year.
I receive it. But
the Bible, in between all that is said about first fruit, says something very interesting. It says, don't boil the kid or the child of the goat in the milk of the mother. Sometimes when these offspring give birth, when these livestock give birth, they feed on the milk of the mother for a while.
That
is what it needs to survive for the first few period of life on earth.
And
then you take a portion of the thing that has sustained this little offspring, and you boil it in that which has sustained it.
And to show, and if you saw ya upon chicken to a one mumma or to meet in a senior coin, what's up, what could she send you full soon? And I watch ya upon chicken, I was so dear, no full soon, but no upon chinaban.
This is what I want to say by that injunction.
Now, Sasam and I pass a mechanic senior making.
First fruit is a good thing, it's like milk.
Now, for a body of the kind,
it can bless your life. But nobody must boil you in it.
Are
you following what I'm trying to say? In other words, do what you want to do to survive. Nobody should put a gun to your head to say, bring your first fruit by force. So milk is a good thing, but we ought not kill people with milk.
Let's
look at Romans chapters 11 verse 16. The first part. The first part of Romans
11:16.
It says, for if the first fruit is holy, the lamb is also holy. So when you have a first fruit, it determines the rest of the things that you have. The state of your first fruit determines the state of the lamb that is left. So may the Holy Spirit lead you to do something that will free your life and bring you more blessings.
I receive it.
The second thing I want to share with you this morning is that you must be open to God's viewpoint. Be open to God's viewpoint. Because the way we see things is usually different from the way God sees things. This is very, very real when you come to the Christian faith. And this is why we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, what I was just talking about as first fruit, this is what the natural mind will think. Anytime we take first fruit offering, of course, we have more money coming into the church than otherwise. So you can easily think that we are taking the first fruit because the church wants more money. Of course, the more money we have, the faster things will be
done.
So when you think that they are taking the first fruit because they want more money, you may not first fruits.
So what do you say? For body of the can ye pe. Say ye benya sikanti na ye jidia. And ye wuna sha won for a for body of the can ma.
And you are free to do whatever you want to do.
Na ni awom ni say ye sha won ye opese wo ye bia utumi ye.
See, in spiritual things, it is important that people are told the right things.
Na wo sunsun mu ni oma mu no. Ebe hia pa say ye be ka no kra na chire nipa.
When your mind is not renewed, your God's view will be different from your view. You will not be open to God's view of things. Two weeks ago, after church, a brother came to speak to me. He said he needed money for his building project. But he realized that what he had in his hand was not enough to do what he wanted to do. So without telling anybody, he put 1,000 CDs into the offering.
Now, one can't show be another 1,000 Ghana, 10 million or the two offering.
See, when you believe in something, nobody tells you what to do.
So who would you dare be what no maybe mine? You'll be in a better round here.
He only told me when the results came.
Now, I see why, yes, I dear, we one can't show be a name.
Because I'm also a natural human being. So sometimes when people tell you the sacrifices you want to make, you feel like telling them, no, stop, don't do it. He said last year, he was blessed with almost 8,000 cedis out of the 1,000 cedis that he gave out.
Fasoni, was it 1,000 or the bet 2 mono? Onya mi shira no man 8,000 Ghana.
I am not sharing this testimony with you so that you also bring 1,000 Ghana cedis.
Was it one can wear my wusun kofa 1,000 bia? Eshu wasu bia mfamo.
Because you may give the 1,000 cedis and you may not get 8,000 cedis.
Now, who went to me this 1,000 now, but who will not 8,000?
In fact, somebody almost took him abroad, but for the fact that he was late, his passport was not in a good... He had a free flight on a business trip to Germany. And he considered... He said, that was an opportunity I missed. If that one had come, he would have ended up having more than the 8,000 cedis. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So those of you who have got dead passports, get them alive.
Okay.
I said get the passports alive.
Okay, alive, my passport.
Because you may not know Donald Trump may be inviting you very soon.
Me first. Harbor County, me first. Well, see, Sabra, no, why you're waiting in a chino, and can you assemble a sea airport late? Yeah. And when you're free trip, I want to play move free. Na so for si wo bia wo ha wo passport ewu kwana kwai na paper ho hallelujah na enkwam bre be bia na bra Trump wo from me wo na obedi echire amen o.
Are you following what I'm trying to share?
Wo tie ni ameka no.
I'm trying to say that when you first will get all other things ready, because everything works so.
Yes.
Everything, they work together.
Yes.
Get all other things ready.
Uh-huh.
So that when the blessing is come, it may not come with 8,000. It may come with an open
door. Yes, so. What's it? What are you saying to the Lord?
As for God, nobody can beat him at giving. This is God's viewpoint, but if you don't develop and grow, You say, that's what God thinks. That's not what I think.
Hey, now, what do you by yourself? Oh, where are you? Onyame adwin, anyama adwin, timi nye, onyame na adwin, nimi sumi diye different.
One day, God invited Moses up the mountain for fellowship. Moses stayed on the mountain for a couple of days, enjoying the fellowship with God. When Moses came down, the people had done something strange. Because they said Moses has kept long on that mountain. They had waited and they were tired of waiting. And because they felt that Moses had kept long on the mountain, they decided to do something to make up. Do you know what God said about the situation? The people said Moses had kept long, but God said the people are impatient. Let's look at the book of Exodus chapter 32 verse 8. God's way of looking at things is completely different from the way you look at things. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And begin to think like God. And begin to believe like God. And begin to operate like God. So that you can have God results.
Hallelujah.
In your life. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? Look at what God said. The Lord said, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them.
When you may say, Moses, Israel, for no, I'm not that you are worth your coin now, Mitchell, one in terms of.
They said Moses had kept long. But God said, you have turned away quickly from what I told you.
Now, when you may say, Israel, for no, I'm that you are worth your coin now, Mitchell, one in terms of.
God's viewpoint is not man's viewpoint. The Bible says sometimes the righteous goes through difficulties.
It
says the righteous perishes, but no one takes it to heart that he has been delivered from an evil to come.
Yes. To me, who say, Sadiana say was our Trinini na Brabom, or Yankupona Achino, Effie and so heavy.
When you press and press and press something and it doesn't seem to work, leave it in the hands of God because maybe God is delivering you.
Sir, who calls Sora Pima Shisha Bibi, who pimp na ya, Jamumara, the essence of Yanwa Yame, or Yibi Wawa Brabom.
One day a brother came to me crying.
Now, Debbie Brabby Banichaya no wasu.
So I asked him what it was.
He
said he wanted to marry a certain sister. The sister says no. I told him that maybe God is delivering you from an evil to come. I knew a little bit about a
sister.
And I was convinced that God was delivering the brother from an evil to come. But he didn't see it that way. He did not see that way at all. So God's viewpoint is different from man's viewpoint. And many times, the way congregation members, they look at their leaders, their elders and shepherds and pastors and fellowship, is so different from the way they really are. In fact, sometimes they are the very opposite of what they think they are. So don't be the type of person who is opinionated. Be flexible in your walk with God. Sometimes you can tell God, God, this is what I think about this situation and so and so. Am I right? Is it okay? If I'm wrong, deliver me from this thought. Are you following what I'm trying to say? When you do that, God can bless your life greatly.
But
there are people, they say that, no. I know this feeling. I've had it before. When I had it, it was true. So what I'm telling you is very true.
Hey.
Let me tell you something about spiritual things. Sometimes even the impressions you have about people, you just know a little bit of it. I remember standing here and praying for Pastor Mike one day. And I kept telling him, you are going to go through troubles, you are going to go through situations, people will not understand you, people will have wrong views about you, this and that. I was using, you are going to. Do you know what he told me? He told me it has already happened. So even in spiritual things, you must be flexible, because you may be talking about you are going to, but it's something the person is already in. It has happened to me many times. And by the way, I've seen some big money coming into the church.
I receive it through me.
So we are going to pray about it at the end of the sermon. Are you interpreting me, or you are saying your own thing?
I am interpreting.
So be open to God's viewpoints. And the Lord will take care of your life. Transformation will come. I see transformation coming into your situation.
I receive it!
Yeah, as you change your viewpoint into God's viewpoint, I see something transforming and changing. Number 3, be open to holiness. Holiness is a good thing. In fact, holiness brings honor to God and gives us respect in the eyes of the unbelievers. One day a lady was introducing a young man to a family friend. As this lady was talking, he is that, the man said, "Stop, I can see it on his face. I can see it there." In spiritual things, sometimes the eye and the face is able to reflect. So much so that even unbelievers, they can see when you are a good Christian. They know it all.
Yeah.
They may not tell you, they may know that this one is not so good. This one is 33%, but this one is 70%. They know it. They may not tell you, but if you bring yourself, they will tell you that they know that you are a correct Christian. How do they know?
Well, see, sani ayatina kuku yenpo anje di fumbo tumi huwe ni tumi kasa wumi nimo and sumisho we nipa we a Christo nipa obu ahosu avyele ni mase wo wobe ye a Christo ni dabe minye huwa wabra bob.
You see, people can mistake you for something. Especially when they have had a certain experience before. I'm going to say something that will lead to something else. One day I went for a walk. We're staying around Chapel Hill, so I was walking around Chapel Hill. As I was walking, and a woman shouted, "Yes, come and steal. Come and steal." So I turned to see who she was talking. I realized that she was talking to me.
Huh.
So I realize that when you are in dark and people can't see you well, you can easily be taken for a thief.
In fact,
one day a woman told a young man, he said, the way your face is, the way your beard is, the way your hair is, if they are arresting thieves, you can easily be picked for one. Now, so cut your beard and trim yourself well, look like a decent person, because you actually look like a thief.
Well, see, mommy, Bishop Brantie, when the three who send here, now what you need for you, on one name, no side, your way, and who I am. Mamma, no catch us, Brantie, said, I saw the first year, I see a bet here, we are winning a better kind. And some say, well, Nimno, we are being in us, and to call you with me, you are budget. Number when Nimmo, a slumber, I'm a banner, sire, and Frewanka.
Have you seen people like that?
When will be or say reader?
I've come across people like that, and I've said in my mind that this guy looks like a thief.
And now, Grammy, who ran to me and who are my sister for me? You may be.
So, you see, from my experience, if there were people around, I could easily have been lynched.
Now, auntie, send your mommy, King.
So I decided I have to be careful where I go on strolls and walk. In our walk with the Lord, I said, in our walk with the Lord, we need to walk in the light and reflect who He is unto others. People must be able to say, look, if you put your money here and this brother is here, the money is safe.
Now, I was sending people to me who can say, oh, Sabraway, so who died with one letter to her? Who back was Sababetu?
One day, a church had a revolution going on.
Now, that could be a sorry being in Kenya.
The pastor had been concerned about the offerings of the church.
Now, now, so for the senior offering, no, I sorry them now. Corner,
This is a church in Accra, real story.
I am sorry, I won't cry. I see.
So they planted CCTV cameras in the room where the money is counted.
And it's baby, I'm okay. Sicano, so for the camera, cause she said,
do you know what they saw?
When am I doing?
Not good.
And your crowd,
the ushers, after. People were taking their portion. Some were putting the money into their socks, into their shoes. It was an agreement that, look, this offering is also a way that God is going to bless us. Let us take our portions. And they were still, and they called them for a meeting and showed the video to them. These are Christians in a big church where all kinds of pastors come to preach, where they say, I receive, I receive, I receive. But the life of holiness, reflecting the nature of God, allowing righteousness that we have been given as a gift to affect our character, is not there. So you cannot even trust when somebody says, I am a Christian. The person has to earn your trust. And I think it's a sorry commentary on the Christian life as it is now.
Now I say, when the camera no question say, no Musa, what's our phone in our tunium? Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, to hide money in my socks. I know this is a no muya wa mu socks mu bayam. Na yasi omu yu enu na sofa ni fre wa mu nina. Sofa ni si yo, a hamponi na sro homu mre. Enu adi kamre isi wa si mu yue. Guide me, O na muya enu into your socks mu yue. Enu adi adi, webe ya ni socks mu, ni koto kuo mu. Na, ayet tanya ye din se, obi poba unchana obekati yo se yo Christo niya. Who said that you need me? Who was on the Nantia who sang Pampara or your Christonia? Let's say, I find now when you're media mayen. Trinia at Shadiana when you're media mayen. Yan Fanya Juma. Yan Casaya Wayanumaya to your Nantia and Nante. Yan Fasa Trinia and in Edmund Tina Coupon Haino and to me Neddy Awayabra.
Let your life reflect the holy nature of God.
And it's your brava, O Bono, Masawa Nancoupon Concrea and Neddy Wabra.
See, in some churches, they don't allow people to chew gum. Especially ushers. Do you know another story I can tell you?
Tell us.
Oh, the pastor realizes that the ushers will put the gum under the table and they will be sticking the money on the gum.
Oh, people are wild.
So We must reflect the beauty of Jesus in all that we do.
Na Christo said that the training ye eteno e wose ye da na di wa baabi a ye ko bia.
Exodus chapter 40 verses 9 and 10.
Exodus 39.
Holiness brings honor to God and sets us apart from the world.
Na training ye e de monyam shasrunko ebre urade na e maye ye ye sin chen kra.
The Bible says, and you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it.
And
shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy.
The
anointing is a way of producing holiness in a person's life.
Because the anointing
sets you apart for God's use, and that means you are holy. Let's continue. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and its utensils and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy.
The
anointing is related to holiness. So, an anointed person is somebody who is set apart, is somebody who is holy. That's what God has made us. So don't contaminate your anointing by allowing dead flies to enter your life. When a dead fly enters your perfume, the scent will change. When Abraham was offering a gift to God in sacrifice,
Abraham, oyi afarebodi aya sacrifice amera di biara.
The Bible says, the birds of the air, they tried to feed on the sacrifice of
Abraham.
Anytime you want to live for God,
there
are flies and bears that will try to feed on the holy life you want to present as a gift to God. But take your spray. I said take your spray and spray them out of the situation. As you walk around, sometimes you feel attraction coming from other people. Attraction from you towards other people. Take your spray and spray it out.
That's
what Abraham did. He drove the bet away. Be open to holiness. The Bible says, without which no man shall see God. When you lead a holy life, you begin to see God in a certain way. Because sin blinds and it deadens. But holiness will enlighten you. May you lead a holy life in the name of Jesus. The fourth thing I want to share with you is that you must be open to the Lord's leading. Be open to the Lord's leading. It will bring a great transformation into your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Israel experienced the leading of God, and we could see the miraculous and the powerful hand of God helping them and transforming their situations. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 40, verse 36.
Exodus 39.
let the Lord lead you. And when the Lord speaks to you, obey His voice. Obey His voice, your life will be transformed. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich. I said,
amen.
The blessing of the Lord will make you rich. If you are not rich today, the blessing of the Lord will make you rich.
I receive it.
And blessing is a spiritual thing. See, anybody who blesses you may bless you in two ways. He may bless you out of the authority he has. For example, if he's your father, he can bless you not because he feels the anointing, just because of the office he occupies as your father. He can bless you without feeling any anointing. He can bless you and you'll be blessed. So if your father has blessed you, what I'm telling you is that expect that blessing in your
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
See, and in the church too, when your pastor blesses you, he may bless you out of the authority that he has. A guy called me and was talking to me about his problems. So I asked him, have you told your pastor about it? He said no. I said, go and talk to him about it and let him counsel you. It is not right to counsel other people's church members when their pastors have been denied that opportunity. So I said to him, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? He said yes. I said, do it because you'll be blessed. Because of the authority, the place the pastor has, something will happen to you out of his counsel. So I want to say to you this morning, as a member of this church, you will be transformed from one level to the other.
I receive it.
I don't care the enormity of your situation. I care in the fact that the name of the Lord is a strong
tower.
The righteous like you, you run into it and you are saved.
Hallelujah.
So I put the name of the Lord over your life this morning.
I receive it.
You shall do well in this life. You shall succeed in this life.
Amen. I receive it.
You shall prevail in this life.
Amen. I receive it.
You shall have the upper hand in every
circumstance.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your needs shall be met.
Amen.
Your wants shall be granted.
I receive it.
You shall have a testimony in your life.
Amen.
I can say all these things because of the person that we are serving. He is a present help in time of need. He says, call unto me and I will answer. He said, I will show you things that you don't know, great things that
Hallelujah.
You don't know. So I declare that your life is extended in the name of Jesus. And you are seeing great and marvelous things in your life. I said you are seeing it. You are seeing great and marvelous things in your life.
I receive it.
As I stand on this most holy altar, I declare to you that your life will be set apart for God.
Amen.
You will not be ordinary. I say you will not be ordinary.
I receive it.
You'll be extraordinary.
I receive it. Yes.
Do you believe in these words?
Yes.
The word they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed in faith in them that heard it. But the word they heard profited them because they mixed it with faith. I see profit coming into your life.
I receive it.
Profit is coming into your business.
I receive it. What you man now? What you know? Profit
ibam. Profit is coming into your spiritual world.
I receive it. You soon suma brava so talk on him.
See, when you serve the Lord, you get to a stage where God determines that I will separate those who serve me from those who don't serve me. In the book of Malachi, he says, then shall you know. Then shall you know. So there is a time that then shall you know occurs in a person's life. As you are seated, there are words that have been spoken over your life. But I'm telling you that then shall you know that they were real words.
Then shall you know.
The curse is broken. The spell is broken. You have escaped. You have escaped. So follow the leading of the Lord. Let's read. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel will go onward in their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day. And fire was over the tabernacle by night. I declare to you that the cloud of God is over your dwelling place wherever you stay. By day there is a cloud over your life. By night there is a fire over your life. But this passage is talking about the tabernacle, physical. So I declare that the cloud of God tabernacles over us when we gather. Let's continue. He said, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. These were the last words of the book of Exodus. The book of journeying from one place to the other. Concluded by emphasizing the need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in all things. I see the Holy Spirit leading you.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name. Final point. Be open to God's ultimate goal. God has many plans for your life. But he's supposed to pick in a certain way. It is called his ultimate goal for your life. You have journeyed in this life. And you have seen God to a degree. But I'm praying for myself and I'm praying for you that we will experience the ultimate goal of God for our lives. Let's look at Exodus chapter 40, verse 33b to 35.
Exodus 40,
33b to 35. It says, so Moses finished the work. Whatever work God has given you, finish it. Whatever
Amen.
Anointing God has given you, execute it fully.
Yes.
Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Moses was called to work in the tabernacle. And when he finished what God had told him to do, he couldn't enter the tabernacle because his work was finished. Because he had obeyed God through and through. God was so happy with the work. So he came to inspect and he tabernacled. He loved it so much, he stayed there. He tabernacled in the tabernacle. His cloud was so strong that Moses couldn't enter through the door. Anytime you see glory in your life, it's because a certain work of God has been finished in your life. Until then, allow God to keep doing the work he wants to do in your life. Because a time of glory is coming.
I receive it.
When they were doing all the work, God didn't seem to show up, if you like. Of course, he was with them in a certain way. But there was an ultimate, ultimatum that must be ultimately seen. When Moses finished it, God said, I like it. I like it. He showed in his cloud. He showed in his glory. And I pray for God. I pray to God for you. And I pray to God for my own life. Whatever God has begun in you, may he finish it. I said, may he finish it. You must say amen to that.
Amen.
Because once he finishes that aspect of your life, his cloud will fall. His glory will come. And people will not be able to deal with you in a certain way as they used to. When they try, they can't enter your life anymore because the glory will bounce them back.
Hallelujah!
Let me tell you a story to conclude. One day, a young man had an experience with God. He was so sick, the doctor said, "You are dying. Eat everything and anything you want to eat because it will make a change. You are dying." He was almost 16 years. He said, "God, am I really going to die?" He said he felt that he was losing his life. But the Holy Spirit, all throughout those periods, had been telling him that you can have healing. You can have healing. You can have what you say. Long story short, he began to believe the word of God. He began to, cast his cares upon God. He began to leave the situation in the hands of God. He began to believe God. And he said at a point, when God had finished working on his faith, he said, a cloud entered his room.
Hey,
The light that entered the room and the presence, he said his whole body was tingling like that. There was a strong presence of God in the room. He said his mother was coming in to feed him as she always did. The door was open, but the mother couldn't walk through. The mother called her mother. He said, come, there's something happening. I can't enter the room. The grandmother went backwards and gathered speed and ran through the door. As she tried to enter the door, she was bounced back. I'm telling you a real story. What is in the Bible, it can happen to you in your life where you stay. So they stayed behind the door until they saw the glory leave the room. And then they were able to enter. When they entered, the young man said, I am healed, I'm well, I am okay, I'm not going to die.
Hallelujah!
God is at work in your life.
Amen.
When he is finished with that department of your life, again a glory is going to enter your life.
I receive it.
Anything and anybody that tries to enter will realize that there is more to your life than meets the eye.
I receive it.
You are in for a transformation.
Hallelujah.
But be open unto it. The Lord bless you. And keep you. And smile upon you. And be gracious unto you. May the scriptures be fulfilled in your life. May everything written about you come true in your life. May you be a walking testimony, a walking Jesus, a living word. May you be a living word.
I receive it.
You have come out of Egypt. You have come out of the wilderness. You are in the promised land. Enjoy your blessing in Jesus' name.
Now, the purpose of preaching the word of God is to get people encouraged, to offer hope to people, and to comfort them in their time of need. But ultimately, the reason why we preach on air is to get you born again. And so if you want to receive Christ Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, this is a prayer you can pray. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this time. I believe I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and come and stay in my heart. Write my name in the book of life and give me the grace to live for you. Thank you, Father, for hearing me in Jesus' name. Friend, if you pray that prayer, I believe that God has come into your life. Join a Bible-based prayer and church that teaches the word of God and continue, and your life will never be the same.
Lord, I lift your name.
Okay, I want to introduce to you a book entitled Counseling with Skill. Counseling with Skill. Now, counseling is a very important part of life. So important that those who receive counsel tend to do better than those who don't. Sometimes you have a person with a troubling circumstance going through a lot of hardships. But if this person should receive good counsel, he's likely to do better than the person who has all the opportunities and all the advantages but has no counselor or counseling in his life. Now, if this is how important counseling is, then I believe that those who are called to counsel, like parents, like fathers, like superiors, managers, bosses, senior brothers, and almost every one of us, if this is how counseling is that important, then all of us must learn to do it with skill. This is why I wrote this book. So in this book, you will learn what it means to be a good counselor, how to develop your skills as a counselor. When it comes to counseling, what style do you use in counseling? The environment for changing counseling. We also look at preemptive counseling, counseling people so that they don't need counseling. That's interesting. Then we look at what to focus on when you are counseling. We talk about practical Christian counseling, the counselor, counseling and challenges. And finally, we end by talking about growing your counseling ministry. I believe that this mini book is going to be very helpful to pastors and all those who have people under them. So you get a copy.
For copies of these and other messages or books, please call 0244-228-331 or 0249-454-976 or visit the church premises on Dempeted Road, 3 minutes drive from St. Peter's School, West Anaji. God richly bless you.